going to convene the Joint Special Committee on Public Education Appropriation for Wednesday, November 18th, 2009. Welcome, members. Welcome all who are here. Would like to encourage people to turn off cell phones. Your cell phones are still on, so we don't interrupt with the sound system. Good to see Senator Haas. Good to see the whole group here. Members, we have gone through the process of developing the report. The Speaker and the Senate President appointed the committee in August. We held our hearing in September to adopt committee rules, go over the previous reports, information on the quality education model. We did have a presentation on the post-secondary public education quality goals. The first draft went off on November 3rd, thanks to the great work of Dana Richardson. And the comments came back in all the way through, and I appreciate the input from people involved and particularly from the members of this committee. We do have a December 26th deadline for issuing the report. It's our intent in today's hearing to make sure we cover the changes that were made in the draft, have public testimony if any folks in the public would like to comment on this, and it's our hope to be able to approve this report with today's hearing, so we obviously will meet the deadline, and then we'd be also be putting this report on the internet when it is approved, so people can access it and read the information that's provided. So with that, before we move into any public testimony, I'd like to ask Dana if she would be so kind as to kind of talk us through the changes from the draft that was sent out on November 3rd, and so that people can at least see where we came from the original draft. Dana?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. As we mentioned at the first hearing, this pretty well follows the structure that this report has had for the last three times it's been issued. A change was made on the first page to indicate that this will go out in November rather than December. At the bottom of pages 2 and 3, information from the Pendleton School District versus State of Oregon, a Supreme Court case has been cited. We had an overview of this at our first hearing. The finding was that the legislature had failed to fund the quality education goals. However, they also found that that provision of the Constitution was not intended to be judicially enforced. So that's in addition to kind of the background of the document. On the top of page 5, we indicated that not only is the QEM model and the way it sets up the different funding suggestions not intended to be prescriptive, there's nothing in our statutes that require schools to drive funds out in any specified way either. In the middle of that page, there's just a formatting change. We do the numeral 10 rather than the word 10. And at the bottom, I forgot to provide a link to the QEM report, so that link has been added. There aren't any additional changes until page 13. We had a comment that the statement that Oregon has ranked as a moderately high tax state was kind of hard to understand historically, could mean a lot of things to a lot of people. So we tried to clarify that by saying prior to 1990 that Oregon ranked as a moderately high tax state. And then in that same paragraph, you'll see clarifying language regarding I think we're shooting for a better descriptor of all of the obligations within the state funding and the way in which that shifted following the ballot measures. So you can see it reads that using the general fund dollars, it's the main source for Oregon's investment in public schools. This sole source must also support other critical services, making the state's overall tax system structurally inadequate to provide full funding to meet Oregonians' needs. Mm. At the top of page 14, it was specified that the kicker is a constitutional provision. And the last sentence in that paragraph, there was a reading of that sentence that the kicker was intended to slow revenue growth, and we tried to make this more neutral by simply saying the surplus kicker revenue limit slows revenue growth during periods of high growth. So nothing pejorative, really trying to make that more neutral and fact-oriented. Similarly, in the second full paragraph, we deleted the words "with the financial market panic." When describing the downturn in the economy, and just remove that language. With regard to cost increases, and this was some language that Representative Gelser put forward that was distributed to the committee, and I'm happy to let her speak to it, but I'll just note that the underlying portions kind of retain some of the information that was previously provided about the 11% cap waiver and the high-cost disability fund. So trying to provide context to some of the increased costs. And that is, then that continues over to page 15, where you can see the previous language deleted. With regard to, on page 16, the impact of the insufficiency on school districts, there was, the word improved was used twice in the sentence. So we changed improved to enhanced. And then it was unclear at the last sentence in that paragraph, the reform agenda, what that referred to. So we tried to provide clarification that that is reference to the implementation of new high school diploma standards. Mm-hmm. And again, at the bottom of the page, a link was added to the previous QEM report. And now those are all the changes that are before the committee today, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Dana. Are there questions on the changes that were listed by the committee minister? Seeing none, is there public testimony from any of our vast audience here to? It's good to see all three of you. There's no public testimony to be offered. Very good. Thank you, members, for the changes that were listed. And again, thank you to committee staff for incorporating those changes. I believe at this time, unless I am mistaken, I'm going to close the public hearing and I'm going to open a work session. So we're closing the public hearing on the report on adequacy of public education funding, and we're going to open a work session on the report for the adequacy of public education funding for the 2009-11 education budget. We're here in a work session.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair.
Move committee approval of the report on adequacy of public education funding dated November 2009.
So moved. Is there discussion on the motion?
Thank you, Chair Buckley. I'd like to say I'm going to vote for this, but I have some reservations. The first one is I have great angst about the EBL, and I just think that that is a – I know it came from executive order in 1999, and I know on page 10 it's more of a history than anything else. But the first thing that happened when we went into this recession is the inflation rate, the bottom fell out, and so, you know, making claims – about making cuts to the EBL really wasn't relevant because the inflation rate was a major part of the EBL and that fell dramatically. The second thing that kind of gives me angst was brought up was the fact that the tax structure is inadequate. I don't believe the tax structure is inadequate. I think what we are seeing is an expansion of government that is unprecedented and we cannot keep going down those tracks. Having said that, there's no way that we can meet the model, and that's what this report's supposed to do, so I will vote for it, but there are some things that give me a little bit of heartburn.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate your comments. Further discussion? Hearing no more discussion on the motion, is there, we might as well do a roll call vote because, heck, we're here. So would you please do a roll call vote?
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Springer?
Aye.
Senator Haas?
Aye.
Senator Rob?
Aye.
Co-Chair Buckley?
Aye.
Co-Chair Minrock?
Aye.
The motion is approved. Members, again, thank you for your work and your time and attention on this matter. And again, thank you to Dana and committee staff. We will post this as soon as we can.
Yes.
So people have access to it. Is there any other business, any other comments? Co-Chair Minrock?
Dana Richardson is an absolute delight to work with. She's the history on the ballot measure one procedures. She's been through it now several times, and the rest of us just kind of take her lead on this. Some people have questioned whether or not this is a worthwhile activity at all. I mean, what are we saying? We're saying proper education funding should be here, and it's only here, and we don't have the money to get it to here. And we've been saying that now time and time again. But going through this process, I believe, does help us to better understand some of the difficulties that we face and the state of Oregon faces with respect to education funding brings it again to the forefront, front burner, makes us talk about it, makes us think about it. And those things, even though we're not doing anything about it right now, I think are positive. So I appreciate the fact that whoever back in 10 years or so ago put ballot measure one on the ballot, some of our education friends and basically are forcing us to go through this process. I do think it's a positive thing overall, and I appreciate the fact that I was one of those that were appointed to spend a few days on this work.
Thank you, Senator. Further comments? Appreciate this. We'll end with those comments if very appropriate. Members, again, thank you for your time and consideration. We're adjourned.